Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. I'm sharing with you today how we live and function without Amazon. I have not purchased from Amazon since January of 2021, and I could probably go further back because we only ordered from Amazon two times in 2020, and then in 2019 was when we cut up our Prime card, canceled our Prime membership, and really began our conviction of not buying from Amazon. And I will give the very brief, I will try to give the very brief and short explanation for why we don't buy from Amazon. And this is not to say anything about what you personally should do, decide to do. That's not the point of this video. I'm just sharing my perspective and the conclusions that we've come to based off of our own values. And everyone's values are different, so it will be unique, whatever you decide from that. But I do really want this to be an encouragement to you, because I deeply believe if many people would cut up their Amazon Prime card and actually just stop looking at Prime and thinking of Prime as not an option, I think so many households would save so much money. And I really believe us not having even the option, because mentally we've cut off Amazon from our life, like it is not even there to us, that we have saved so much money. And also, we don't have a lot of junk because we don't buy from Amazon. So let's go back, starting with 2018. That is when I quit my job to become a full-time homemaker. And that is when I discovered the concept of the home as an economy. And then through learning about my role in stewarding our home economy, we then started learning about the local economy through Wendell Berry. We started reading his books and realizing that the home economy is so closely tied in with our local economy. For the first time in our life, we connected what Jesus said about loving our neighbor. How better could you possibly love your neighbor than by supporting their work and their business? And so what does it look like for us to love our neighbor in this season? And at that time, we were living in a small town in Kentucky, Stanford, Kentucky. If any of y'all are familiar with Stanford, it is the cutest, most beautiful town. It's adorable. They have all these little boutiques. But we decided that we were going to try that November a month of only shopping locally, only buying things that were even sourced locally, made locally. So we didn't even go to locally owned shops that sold global things. Like, everything had to be from our area. And we did that just to see if we could do it. I had seen a blog post from a guy who said that he tries to only source everything he gets within a 30-minute radius from where he lives. And so I just thought, well, why don't we just give this a try? And so that was our mere beginnings. We actually have a YouTube video about getting away from buying from Amazon or big box stores. It's from 2019. Scott and I did it together, and it's on our channel together. So I'll link that below, because that is our mere beginnings. That is where this all began. That fall, that November, when we canceled our Prime credit card, our Prime membership. And at that point, we hadn't totally written off Amazon completely. Then in 2020, we got stuck in South Africa, and I had to order. I was tracking my basal body temperature, and I had forgotten my thermometer. And I couldn't find a basal body thermometer in South Africa. So I ordered one from Amazon, and Amazon ships to South Africa. So I ordered that. And then that fall, when we got back to America, we ordered some books from Amazon. And then again, that was the last thing that I ordered in January of 2021, was books. And then we were done. And so why did we cold turkey stop buying from Amazon? There are many reasons. I'm just gonna give a few, but again, this is our own values. We saw in 2020 how badly small businesses, family businesses were impacted from what was going on in the world and with the economy, and how much Amazon boomed, took off, and so many people were just buying from Amazon and not buying from small businesses that were getting shut down. That was one reason, was because Amazon was shutting down all of our local mom and pop stores, and even local businesses that aren't even necessarily local, but they just couldn't afford to keep a storefront open because they cannot compete with places like Amazon. Two, Amazon rips off small businesses that sell on their site. Several companies have said this. I subscribed to a woodworking business that makes wooden spatulas and wooden spoons. They're called Early Wood. And they had sent out an email saying how they would prefer you buy direct from them instead of buying from their Amazon shop. And they said the reason why was because they spent all this time as a small business discovering what wood would best suit this spatula that they were making. And there was not this wooden specifically designed spatula on the market. They designed it, they created it, and then there was a huge demand for it. It took off. Well, because of algorithms and how behind the scenes things work with technology and Amazon, other businesses and Amazon, what is that thing called? Actually, what is that thing called? Amazon has their own brand. I can't remember what it's called, but they undercut small businesses by duplicating what they make and making something of their own. Actually, I'm just going to read direct from the email they sent out. So Earlywood said, Amazon takes a hefty cut, typically about 30% from all sales. That's straight off the top, and honestly, it's kind of painful. It is a huge hit to small companies like us and just continues to feed the huge Amazon beast. And then they said, there is a software that can be used with Amazon to find out other companies' sales, their most popular products, the quality of their listings, their conversion rates, and a rating that specifically tells you how easy it would be to introduce a similar product. Imposters are usually made in China, Turkey, Romania, Vietnam, Thailand, etc. And so if you use the reason of, well, we're still buying from small businesses just through Amazon, try instead using that as a search engine and then seeing if that small business has their own website, because then you are direct buying from them and you're not giving your money to Amazon, because Amazon takes at least 30%. I remember watching a Shark Tank episode and they said almost 50% of their profits were taken from Amazon and how devastating that was for them as a small business. So yes, Amazon is huge for these businesses getting their name out because they're in the Amazon search engine, but it's almost like a trap, because it's like, well, you either be a part of the Amazon giant machine or you don't, and you don't get your name out. But a way around that is to try to buy direct from these companies. So you can use Amazon as a search engine to find places and then go to their direct website and buy from them. So then they're getting 100% of the profit, or like 98% of the profit, because there's always going to be some taken down by whatever website or credit card company you use, but it's not going to be anywhere near the 30 to 50% that Amazon takes off. And this is how you defy tyrants like Amazon, is you find the local small alternatives. And we kind of have a values system of how we buy things. So first, can we make or build or source or create this ourselves? That is the home economy. How can we create what we consume? And then the next step, if we can't do something or make something, is there a way of sourcing, buying, servicing this locally from a locally owned business? Our neighbors. So search your general area. How can I buy this locally first? Is there an option for that? And oftentimes, local places will be more expensive. And I know that that's a big turnoff to some people, but we believe that our money is given to us from God. God has blessed us. It's His money, not ours. And so we chalk it up to generosity. It is generous to our neighbors. It is loving our neighbors as ourselves, because we would want people in our community to buy from our local business. So likewise, we want to give dignity, because you're not just giving them money freely, you're paying them for a good or a service. And that's honoring. That's honoring your neighbor. That's honoring their skills. That's loving your neighbor. And so that's our next thing. Can we source it locally? And sometimes you just can't. You might live in a rural area and you're not able to. And that's where you then take it to the next level. Well, we take it to the next level of, okay, there is no local option for this. So what is the next best thing in our mind? And that is a company who still shares our similar values. So that could look like Azure Standard. Azure is not part of our local area. In fact, Azure is across the country the opposite way. But They provide a service and goods that are a blessing to us, and we believe that they're a wholesome company. We want to give them our money instead of a company like Kroger, who we have personally found don't align with our values. Again, a lot of our values come from what happened in 2020 and our experiences with different stores that burned bridges for us to never shop there again. So Whole Foods is owned by Amazon, and in 2020 we had gone into a Whole Foods just to get a matcha. We were out of town, went into a Whole Foods, didn't have a mask on, and the manager literally got this close to my face and is screaming at us, and we walked out, and at that moment we were like, we will never shop from Whole Foods again. And sometimes for us, you need that burned bridge experience. It's out of principle. It's like, I'm not giving Whole Foods my money. There are plenty of other alternatives. And again, then came our Amazon conviction, and Amazon owns Whole Foods. And so, yeah, they don't exist to us. We don't buy from them. That's our own personal experience. There was a local co-op near where we lived in Indiana. And in 2021, we decided to do a year of localism. And I was gonna include that co-op into our local category, and local and small, because I did order from Azure and I ordered from some small businesses online, but I wasn't buying from any big box stores at all. And so I was including that co-op in our places we could shop from, but when we walked in there, again, they yelled at us for not having a mask on. And so we were like, okay, we're not buying from you. We're not giving you our money because you are not our people. There are other places, other people we would rather give our money to that share our values. So that's what I mean by, okay, then what's the next option? Then what's the next option? And then there are some times when values of people are more important than that. So we had friends that were in town from out of town, and we were on the other side of town, and that's where their Airbnb was. And so they wanted to cook a meal at their house, and the only grocery store near their Airbnb was Kroger. And so we don't shop from Kroger. I'm not a huge fan of Kroger. But in that instance, we cared more about our friends and wanting to have dinner at their house and us go buy groceries, so we went to the Kroger. So that's what I mean by give and take. I've really pulled back to more of like an 80-20 principle, and then again, there's still places that I just will not buy from. But I always do try to source it locally. And I've said in the past in other videos where I've talked about the local economy that I would give links for how to find local things in your area. And I will list all of those below. And most of these are farm type of things. So realmilk.com is a good way of finding raw milk in your area. YouPick is a great resource for finding local farms where you can go and pick blueberries, blackberries, pumpkins, and I will link all of the places that I use, and then also just Googling. That's a very easy way to find places that are local to you. And I want to give a positive testimony to how it's been, because if you love Amazon and you love buying from Amazon, this could sound like the most miserable thing ever, but it actually has been so much fun. It is like a game. At the beginning especially, was even if it's just like for us, because we did the 2021 year of local and values aligned buying only, that was a game. And so even if you want to do this and just see if you can go without Amazon, give yourself a time frame, like a month or 3 months or until the end of the year, and then see how it feels, see how you enjoy it. I think sometimes we don't realize how much of just an actual habit, or I think an addiction, it is to get on Amazon. I think Amazon is a scrolling and buying addiction problem, and you may not even realize you fully have it until you put a pause and just say, for the next month, I'm not going to buy anything from Amazon, and I'm going to make it so that way I don't even get on Amazon. How do I prevent myself from buying from Amazon? And you can usually see then, is this an addiction problem that needs to be dealt with? And it will be really cool, especially if you track your finances, to see if that month or the 3 months or 6 months till the end of the year if you end up saving a lot of money because the platform just isn't even there as an option. That was what we very quickly learned, was there actually are more options near us than we even knew, but we didn't know about them because convenience always would win out over having to look and find local options. So especially during that 2021 year of living in Indiana, there were so many just so cool God stories of how he directed our steps for all of our needs. So even to bring these things before Jesus and say, I am wanting to learn to love my neighbor, and so will you help me find local options and pray about these things, bring these things before Jesus and see how he directs your steps. And we have met so many cool people and just amazing people from doing this. When we first moved here, we looked up realmilk.com for a local dairy, and the closest we could find at that time was about an hour and 20 minutes away. So we would go once a month, drive the hour and 20 minutes, get 10 gallons, and then freeze most of it in quart mason jars. But the relationship that we built with our farmer, she was a Christian, and we would pray for each other every month. We would catch up, see how life is going. They were trying to find a church, and it was so much fun. And sadly, she ended up needing to move back to where her family was to help with family. And so after she left, we had to find a new milk source. And my friends told me about another lady who comes and does a milk drop right in our area. And so that again is another blessing, that as our previous milk lady left, we have a new one now. And yeah, God will always provide and direct our steps, and you never know the people that you're going to meet. When we lived in Indiana, we ended up meeting a homesteader who happened to be a butcher, and so he had the ability. They built it was like a barn where he could butcher the cows in his barn, and then they had a giant walk-in freezer, and so he could do everything himself. And so it cut out the middleman, and so our meat was so inexpensive getting it from him because there was no middleman. And they were a wholesome homeschooling, homesteading family. And again, they were so much fun to talk to. And so you never know the people that you're going to meet through making the decision of, I'm gonna try to stop buying from Amazon and see if there are local options instead. Okay, so then the most common question that we get is, well, if you're not buying from Amazon, how do you get like home needs? Like if you need something, how do you get it? And something that I wish I had known about when we first got married was auctions and thrift stores and yard sales. We bought most of our furniture from IKEA, and I don't think we have this little chair, one of those rocker chairs. I think that's the only thing we have left. Oh, and a dresser, but I've been tempted to get rid of the dresser many, many times because it's chipboard, but I still have it because it's nice storage. But those are the only two things that we have left because it's not good quality. Whereas you can go to auctions. We started going to in-person auctions in 2020 and did that for our entire Indiana season, so for 2 years, and pretty much everything, a lot of things that we own in our house is from auctions, because you can find the most beautiful wood, oak, solid wood furniture for so inexpensive. If you're finding things from estate sales, usually the quality of those things is so much better than what you can get from Amazon. Another benefit to stopping buying from Amazon, to putting a limit on yourself to only buy things locally or secondhand, is it teaches you patience to wait and buy things that you really like instead of buying what's convenient or the first thing that pops up, or maybe it just pops in your mind of, oh, I'd like this. You get on Amazon, you see something for a good price, but it's actually this cheap, junky thing that doesn't last that long and breaks and is ugly and is made of plastic and doesn't go with the look of your home. But because it just popped in your mind that you need it and you added it to your cart and you bought it, then maybe you would have found something that was so much more beautiful and better quality and maybe even a better price. I've had to learn when we've moved here that I find things far less cheap here than we were when we were in rural Indiana. And where we live now, there are no in-person auctions at all. Thrift stores prices are through the roof. Yard sales can still be okay. Estate sales are through the roof. But even then, I'm comparing it to what we were paying for things when we lived in Indiana. Things that we find at online auctions or estate sales are usually still going to be cheaper than the alternatives. For instance, earlier this year, I went to a yard sale and we needed a hose. We needed a longer hose for our garden because our hose last year didn't reach the full garden. And they had a hose for $2 and it is the best quality hose. It is so long and I'm so grateful because that we now have a hose. And you know how expensive watering hoses are? For one that doesn't kink, they are so expensive. They're like $50 to $100 for a very long, good quality hose that doesn't kink when you're pulling it. And we got that for $2. And so just having an idea, you could even have a list. I have a list in my phone of things that I would like or keep an eye out for. And as things come to my mind as I'm working in the house, just having that list on my phone, so that way if we're at a yard sale or if I happen to go into a thrift store, I'm like, wait a second, is there anything on my list that this store would possibly have? Just give myself a refresh. And it's amazing the things that I have found from just being patient. And also then I do believe that God honors our patience and directs our steps to places where we can get beautiful, amazing things for such a good price. And then I think that's what's made our home unique to us, is from me being able to slowly collect what I like for our household. So our house is not filled with much plastic at all. I don't buy plastic stuff. The things that I look for is this beautiful? Is this meaningful? And is this functional? Those are the three categories. Usually I want it to be at least two of the three, and sometimes it's all three. So if something is beautiful, it reminds me of my family, or it reminds me of Scott's family, or it reminds me of life in South Africa, or something that reminds me of South Africa where Scott's from, or something that reminds me of something from my childhood that is so special to me. I want our home to be filled with things that have meaning, that are special, that are purposeful. So I don't want to own a whole bunch of stuff that has little value, bad quality, little meaning, and little function. I want things to have meaning, be functional, and be beautiful, be high quality. And see what your home and your life would look like if you found what you like, what's your style, not whatever Amazon or what's trending is pushed upon you, but what are the things that you find beautiful, valuable, meaningful, functional, and slowly over time creating a space with those things. That's why I always say with my homemakers videos that you can't compare yourself to other people. Everyone's uniquely different. Everyone's style's uniquely different. And so finding what makes you excited, what are the things that are meaningful for you, and what are the things that you find beautiful? And that's what's gonna make your space beautiful, because it's a reflection of who you are. No condemnation if you do buy from Amazon. I feel like I always want to say that, and anyone who brings up Amazon links or talks to me about Amazon feel like I'm judging them, because I'm not judging them. I don't like Amazon. I'm not gonna buy from Amazon. I have issues with Amazon. That is a personal decision that we've made, and we have zero regrets about it. I do not feel like I'm missing out. I actually feel totally free. I have zero shopping addiction. I do not have an Amazon addiction. We rarely have things showing up at our house because I don't do a whole lot of online shopping. I have a few select places that I will keep an eye out for with clothing. Like, I just got two no sleeve t-shirts from Pact, 100% organic cotton, for $5 each. Amazing. You can't even thrift non-cotton shirts at that price, but Yeah, so those are the things that make me excited with buying things online. But I do have a link with them if you've never ordered from Pact before and you want to get into buying organic clothing. And then I also have a coupon code. It's not mine personally, I don't get anything from it. It's just something that I found works. And so I'm all about encouraging you to save your money. And so I will put all those details below. But thank you so much if you decide to use my Pact link. And yeah, so enough about that. Let's go look at the house. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.